News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM FM capabilities right here at WVNN, it don't matter. No matter where you are in the world, you can listen to the show. We got folks that take us on vacation. I mean, I think there's folks listening at the beach right now, from what I understand. There's people in Virginia. There's folks. I got my buddy Jerome in Rome. We got people up in, like, Jeff from Indiana. We got people in Tennessee. Steve from Tennessee calls in. So I'm just saying, folks, this is a program that transcends AM FM sometimes, and the way you get to it is you go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I always say. So, yeah, folks, listen, just take the show with us wherever you go. You can also download it from that same website, rightsideradio.org. We've got it podcasted, and we are kicking on the podcast, and people are downloading those at record pace right now. We're pushing 22,000 downloads right now. And what that basically means is Copper will segment out the show for us every single day, put it into bite-sized chunks, like, you know, 10, 20 minutes long. And then she puts them in, out there in a Dropbox or whatever, and Birdman grabs them and uploads them into podcast forum for us. So just know that you've got options, all right? And you can take us wherever you are. Hey, listen, that whole opening monologue is going to continue the theme, because when I say the decline of society, let me tell you, it's real. What Birmingham is doing is real. That's the same mayor, by the way, who enacted policies this past year that ordered his police officers to not use flashbang grenades when entering a hostile site. Why? That is a non-lethal deterrent that is designed to set a bad guy on his heels so that it gives the police officers an edge as they come through the door to a hostile environment. Well, because it was scary. And because, you know, it might be taken the wrong way. I don't know. Who knows? But folks, when you don't enforce the laws, you have the downfall of society at some point. Victor Davis Hanson was doing an amazing job last night. And by the way, I was already forming this whole segment of the show when I'm sitting there last night watching Victor Davis Hanson do an interview. And in his usual eloquent and mild-mannered way, he nailed it. And he basically said some things like the fact that when the laws are not enforced, you have the breakdown of civil order. He said that not enforcing criminal laws is actually cruel and evil, because the people who don't break the laws are suddenly put at disadvantage. Copper, you got, let's do clip two. Can you tell me you got clip two ready? You good with that? Yeah, let's do this. Let me just play a segment of Victor Davis Hanson. Clip two, Copper, go ahead and play it.
Well, you study this, and you understand how systems collapse. What is the crucial moment? What is the crucial point? What leads to the beginning of something like what we're seeing?
I think it's when the law is asymmetrically applied or not applied at all. When you see somebody walk out of the store with a bag of goods and does not pay and nobody says anything, or you see somebody just go to a car and steal it and you know nothing's going to happen, or you see something like Waukesha or the hostage taking in Texas and the media won't cover it, or you see crimes that won't be reported for political reasons. And when the system can't react, and then the person in the middle, the citizen, says, I don't believe anymore. When you look at the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, the DOJ, the Pentagon, these were once esteemed, maybe not the IRS, but they were once esteemed agencies. People have no confidence in them anymore, and that's what starts to unwind. When you look at the career of a Fauci, a Milley, a Clapper, a Comey, a McCabe, people said, these aren't the people that we trust. We used to love the government, now we fear the government. And so the government's lost credibility, morality, and we've got to restore it by all of these DAs have to prosecute crimes. You have to be arrested. You have to be indicted. If you're guilty, you have to serve your time to regain confidence and make it safe to be a human again. We're not humans anymore. We're just, I don't know, we're just tinker toys in some grand woke game of utopia.
Yeah, and so he said in a later part of the interview, too, he said that refusal to take criminals to task, among other injustices, is, quote, causing the American people to lose faith. And I agree with that. Copper, what were you saying? Would you grab the mic? What'd you say?
Oh, I mean, most of what he said was dead on, but I don't know what he's talking about. Used to love the government? I never loved the government.
Well, no, I get that. But But I think what he's talking about is even if you didn't love the government, you didn't have a loathing distrust, or for that matter, this anxious, you know, feeling of being, you know, watched at all times, or your civil order was going to fall apart because the people were not defending your interests like they said they would. I think that's what he's talking about.
I've never lived with that fear, so might have been nice to be born before the digital age.
Wow, that's a whole new copper's corner for you right there, isn't it? Wow. Well, I will tell you that I can say, for instance, one of the ways for me is I love the military. I still love and honor the rank and the order and the discipline and the actions of the military. But I've been very disappointed in leadership that I'm seeing now by policies that want to take it places it was never designed to go. And I think that's what he's talking about here. But I'm talking about, too, not just these prosecutors, which I'm going to keep going on this topic when we get back from the break, but it's not just these prosecutors. Sometimes it's the daggum mayors who, like Mayor Woodfin in Birmingham, just want to abdicate their role and decide, you know, I don't like that law. I won't enforce it. Come on in, criminals. It's okay here. Sanctuary City. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. This is serious business, y'all. We'll keep going when we get back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN. And this being now the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, and thank you for that. We owe it all to great listeners like y'all, very much so. And hey, by the way, I'm continuing on with this theme about the decline of society. There's a story right now on the big screen here in the studio. Fox has got a story right now going on. Concern grows in cities over out-of-control crime. Yes, indeed. And it's I'm going to get into in a minute why I believe that some of what we're seeing now are some of the same things that history says caused the fall of Rome. Before I do that, though, I got a caller. Let me go ahead and grab that real quick. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana. Line two, Jeff from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing today?
Good, good, Phil.
Hey, good. What's on your mind?
What kind of scares me is how much power does these mayors have? I didn't realize they had the power of pardon.
Yeah, and that's a matter of state statute. So in this case, my recollection is that there is a state code that allows mayors to have pardon when it comes to municipal matters. So if they were convicted in municipal court, then the mayor could have sway over that. State court, not so much. Federal court, of course, like a governor can't pardon somebody for federal court crimes, and you know mayors can't for state court crimes. So it's a matter of jurisdiction.
Yeah. I mean, how far up does a municipal court go, though? I mean, is it just traffic offenses, or is it drug offenses, or could it be up to something that's murder?
No, my recollection is capital crimes like that are going to wind up being purely in state or federal, for that matter. But no, I think you're looking at what I would call the lower level offenses, and those are going to be possession, drugs, unless it reaches the level of felony, I believe. And then you've also got, of course, the traffic and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering about that. I was going to say, my God, if they got that much power, guy could sit there and, run for mayor just so he'd get his family out of jail or something.
Well, there's no telling what was in that. There's no telling what was in that 15,000 pardons he gave. I mean, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out somebody he knew wasn't in that stack. But still, pardons were never intended for that. And you might know, Jeff, but I think it was back in the Carter era. Didn't Jimmy Carter do a blanket pardon of all draft dodgers from Vietnam? I believe he did.
Yeah, he brought them back from Canada. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he brought them, gave everybody a pardon and they come back from Canada, didn't they?
Yeah, no harm, no foul, guys. You didn't go to war, and so we're just going to go ahead and say it's all right. Come on home now. That didn't sit well with the veteran community. But anyway, thanks, Jeff. Not. Appreciate the call, man. All right, that was Jeff from Indiana. As always, good input. Hey, so I'm looking at something right now, and I pulled this off of history.com. I tried to find a reasonably reliable source. And I don't want us to be Rome, all right? And I am not saying I want us to use Rome as our model, because there were many aspects of Roman culture in when the Roman Empire was at its peak that I would never want to be a part of. But they are the model of what people look to when they look for a failed great state. You know, you always talk about the fall of Rome. Well, number one, I would say is this: the Romans of the day, when Rome fell, and they believe that if you had to put a calendar date on it, it'd be somewhere around 476. But in 476, yeah, the Romans had pretty much, I would say this, they had forgotten who they were. And of the various different, you know, things listed on this history.com list of why Rome fell, let me just run through some things and refer them to you in modern terms. Number one was invasions by barbarian tribes. I would categorize that as a failure of national security. Oh, is it starting to come home now? Invasions by barbarian tribes, a failure in national security. Number two on the list is economic troubles and over-reliance on slave labor. All right, what that really boils down to, if you think about it, is a failure of economic and labor policies. Oh, are we seeing that now? Yeah. No, by the way, those of you out there that are my trolls, I did not just ask for slave labor. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they totally botched the manner by which they would handle economic and labor policies, is what I'm saying. Number three on this list is the rise of the Eastern Empire, which was part of Rome. It was not like another nation. The Eastern Empire was Constantinople. It was the East and the West parts of the Roman Empire were divided in half to help it make it easier to govern, and it didn't work. It wound up creating infighting among political factions, is the way I would describe it. Oh, look at that. Polarization, infighting among political factions. How about this one? Government corruption and political instability. Yeah, yeah. Go back to Victor Davis Hanson's comments a moment ago. A lack of trust in governance. Sound familiar? How about this one? This one says the arrival of the Huns and the migration of the barbarian tribes. You know what that is? That was a Roman failure to establish and maintain good immigration policies and secure their own borders. Oh! Oh! Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. Yes. Yes, it does. Or how about this one? Last one on the list. The weakening of the Roman legions. That's a downgrading, in my opinion, if I had to put my label on it, that's a downgrading of their military readiness. Oh, good Lord. So one of these things in here is literally talking about, where'd it go? I'm looking at it. A lack of trust in governance. That's the inability to believe that the government will take care of its citizens. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about right now. When there are laws in place and they won't be enforced, and when they're not enforced, it creates insecurity on the streets. What are we supposed to do with that? Well, I'll tell you what the first thing we need to do is there needs to be a public outcry. Right now, the people in Birmingham especially should be up in arms. In terms of relating this to Alabama, the citizenry of Birmingham should be fed up. I'm looking at a story right now dated May of last year, so May of 2021, from ABC 3340, one of the major news channels down there in Birmingham. The title of it is, you ready? Birmingham's murder rate outpaces Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Detroit. What? Yes. It says that Birmingham's homicide rate outpaces the majority of other American cities, including Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Detroit, according to the FBI's 2019 Crime in the United States data, as well as data directly from city police officials and the U.S. Census Bureau. Wow. Birmingham was number three in the nation for homicides in 2019. Number three in the nation. With almost 51 murders out of every 100,000 residents. That's the way they kind of categorize it. Higher than Atlanta, higher than New Orleans, higher than Detroit. Birmingham, where the liberal mayor, Randall Woodfin, believes it's his job to do 15,000 blanket pardons on low-level crime. Meanwhile, his city is declining in population and has one of the highest murder rates in the entire United States. Next story I've got here, BirminghamTimes.com. Dated just about 10 days ago. It says, in 2021, Birmingham homicides neared an all-time high. City councilors and residents react. Well, the reaction from the city councilors was about what you'd expect. Oh, we need to reform policing and find all kinds of new woke ways of taking care of things. Well, come on. All right, so here's the quotes. More people were murdered in Birmingham in 2021 than in 2020. And with 132 homicides last year, the city came just 9 away from its all-time high record. The last time homicides reached into the 130s was in 1994. And those numbers are causing concern, you think? Okay, so it goes on to say that Birmingham is not alone with increased number of homicides. Some counselors point out, in other words, city counselors, we're not alone. Other people are dealing with this too. City Councilor LaTanya Tate. It's up everywhere. This is a major problem across the nation. You got people that are possessing illegal handguns. How about this? You're letting criminals go, counselor. You're just letting them have a sanctuary city. And here's what her quote is. You ready? Brace yourself. Deep breath before I do this. Quote, we have to reimagine what it looks like to fully fund community safety, what it means to address structural, systemic challenges that communities are facing. We have to come to some type of common bond across the state of Alabama where we realize healing is just essential for real, true justice and stand together. What does that even mean? In addition, Councilwoman Tate said, restorative justice is one of a number of initiatives she would like to implement. By the way, here's restorative justice. You know what that is? A restorative justice program is the process of bringing victims and perpetrators together so healing processes can begin. Do you think that the best way to defeat crime is to give the rapist a chance to sit down and talk with the rape victim? Does the mother of the murdered son need to sit down with the murderer? Does the person whose house was broken into, or the person who was assaulted, or the person who had the theft of their property need an opportunity to meet with the perpetrator to see if they can resolve their differences? You know what the difference is? The criminal committed a crime against the victim. How about we start caring more about the victim as opposed to the criminal? That's what we need to do. We have to reimagine what it looks like to fully fund community safety, what it means to address structural, systemic challenges that communities are facing. Have to come to some type of common bond across the state of Alabama. No, we don't. How about you enforce your laws in the city of Birmingham? There's an idea. Woo! How about that? Come to a common bond across the state of Alabama. Grab the microphone, Copper. I can see. I need to take a breath anyway. What you got?
Well, because otherwise it's got me thinking I'm better off picking up my own gun and shooting the jerk who's stealing my stuff than I have calling the police. And I don't think we want society to devolve that far.
No, we don't. We don't. And I guess too, let me qualify my statement and yours. The men and women in blue, the law enforcement, they've got a job to do, but it's when the liberal district attorneys, and in this case a liberal mayor, put policies in place that tells the police officers we're not going to prosecute those things that you arrest. That's a problem. That disheartens and demoralizes the people who put on a uniform every day and go to hard places to do hard things. And so, yeah, big doings. You know, there's no way I can get through all this, but Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. We come back, I'm going to keep this thread going. The decline of society, what does it look like? I think it looks a lot like what we're seeing out of liberal cities, even right here in Alabama. Folks, it is absolutely imperative that we not just think about who we're going to vote for president. Think about who you're going to vote for dog catcher. Who's your city council person? Is it going to be a knucklehead like Tate who says we need to find some common bond across the state so we can have restorative justice where the victim sits down with the perpetrator? No, by God. Enforce your freaking laws. And if you don't like the laws, go to the legislature and change them. In the meantime, enforce what's on the books. It's that simple. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right and fired up. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. We're glad you're with us. It is 2:53 p.m. Coming up top of the hour, you're going to want to be in tune for this one. Buddy of mine, Scott Stantis, he's a nationally syndicated political cartoonist. He's hosted the show for me in the past. But Scott's going to be on the line with us. Scott spent a lot of time in Chicago, working with the Chicago Tribune. And he's got thoughts on what I'm talking about right now, things he saw in that major city and how it compares to the fact that he now lives back home here in Birmingham. So he's seen both up close and personal. We'll talk to him about this stuff when he gets on the line with us here coming after the 3 o'clock break. You know, what kind of things are happening in society? I'm pointing to a lot, and I'll be honest with you. I'm a man of faith. I believe that faith, is something that is so often at risk these days, it seems like. If you dare to believe that Jesus is Lord, if you dare to believe in God, it seems like that somehow puts you at a disadvantage in the eyes of many of the pundits. No, not at all. I heard my pastor say one time, let's say I'm wrong. And, of course, that piqued my attention. And he said, I'm not. He said, but let's say I'm wrong. What have I lost? I have held to a moral code that says to love and be faithful to my wife, to be a servant to my community, to be someone whom you can trust, to be truthful, all of these things. Well, when you start putting aside those things, whether you base them, as I try to do, in the foundations of my faith in Jesus Christ, or if you base them just in goodness in general, when you put aside those things, what do you get? Well, you get the kind of things we're talking about. But I'll be honest with you. I think a godly faith is also being just shunted right now. And here's a story on townhall.com, dated two days ago. CBS Sports bans a Bible commercial from the football game. Really? Yeah. So CBS Sports, according to Town Hall, the business Bible. There's a large group of business leaders, athletes, investors, and philanthropists who support a new product called the Business Bible. It's basically a new American Standard. It's not like I rewrote it. It's a new American Standard Bible, but it's filled with articles and principles and business best practices. It's supposed to be something like a CEO can keep on his desk, and it'll have a verse, and it'll tell you why that verse can also apply to business. I'm going to get a copy when it comes out. It comes out this year. So they were set to advertise it for the Hula Bowl on January 15th, which was, you know, last weekend. But the Hula Bowl canceled it. Just canceled it. They now, keep in mind, CBS Sports embraced all kinds of things like LGBTQ inclusive commercials and stuff like that and recently, but the only reason for this decision, says Nicholas Leone, who's the founder of the Business Bible and a former Wall Street executive himself, the only reason for this decision, he said, is that the producers at CBS wanted to ban the Bible. He said, the ad is about business, discovering your success story. It's a nice introduction to this resource that we're going to have available this year. That's the kind of thing we're seeing in society, but we're also seeing it in the leadership of our society. On top of that, you've got any number of things like what you're seeing right now around the nation as, you know, just demoralizing things happen. Like this apparently sweet young lady who was working the night shift at a furniture store by herself in California, in L.A., I believe. She was a UCLA grad student. That was her job, to help pay for school. And this guy named Sean Laval Smith, who's been arrested somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen times over the last 10 years in multiple cities, was out on bond, even though he was a violent criminal. He walked in off the street for no reason and stabbed her to death. And that's the kind of thing that happens in a society that creates sanctuaries for low-level criminals. You wind up getting high-level crime as well. Low-level criminals do not make good decisions. Low-level criminals are very often the decline at the lower level of a creeping decay that goes all the way up to the bigger crimes. And let me just ask you as a lawyer, Mr. Mayor Randall Woodfin, when you did those blanket pardons, do you have any idea if some of those were pled down from bigger crimes? What will happen if you had a domestic assault and the spouse, who was scared to testify against the abusive husband, decided not to testify, which dismantled the claims of assault, but the police already had him on at least a lesser offense of possession, and so they were able to pursue that at the very least and get something on the record so this guy couldn't just walk free, and now you just pardoned it. Did you review those things first? Did you make sure? I doubt it. I doubt it. All right, folks, listen. We're going to take this conversation further. We're going to talk to my buddy Scott Stantis. Scott's got a great sense of humor. He's a nationally syndicated political cartoonist. His work is seen everywhere. And he's done some new stuff that we're going to talk about, but we're also going to talk to him about his experiences with Chicago. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You know what? Not on my watch. We'll be right back.